I don't know if the players understand it. It's hard, and it's a pretty special season to get to 60 and do it in this fashion, the way they did, as quick as they did it. It's pretty good, obviously.
I think Mike's style is more pace and space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, don't patronize me. Yes.
That will never get old. We're into the 9 o'clock hour. Laurel D'Antoni, who authored those words, is joining us in studio. The Rockets have won 60 games, which has never happened in the regular season in the history of this franchise. Nor, by the way, has this franchise ever had the number one seed in the playoffs, which looks, knock on wood, to be a bit of a certainty. Laurel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Are you still skeptical?
I am. Listen, I am cautiously optimistic. Here's the thing. This is not a Rockets-specific thing. Seth saw me during the ALCS with the Yankees and the Astros, and when they lost the three games in New York, that Thursday and Friday, I am sitting here basically being like, I know how this ends. I've been through this movie a thousand times.
He was depressing.
He just came
in here and he acted like he was everything that's wrong with sports fans.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you would have, like, Mike, someday you're going to have a kid.
I know.
Someday you're going to have a kid.
Maybe that'll change.
And you're going to sit there in the den with your kid and be like, well, son, this is how life goes. Ultimately, you fail. So don't even bother hoping for the next one.
I'm optimistic right now.
But you know what? It's fair that you feel that way because, you know, you never know. To win a championship, everything has to line up. And right now, okay, yeah, we're first in the league, but you know how fast that can change?
Yes.
So you kind of have to hold. I understand your pain. Trust me, all these years that Mike's been coaching, I feel your pain. I just hope we can convince you to at least fall in love with us.
Oh, I mean, this team, I said maybe an hour or two ago, I think this has been the most successful regular season in the history of Houston sports. Just objectively, because when you look at it, you're beating a team that people thought when Durant signed there a year and a half ago was basically going to be unbeatable. You've won more games ever in the franchise's history, so that's more than the Astros did this past season, and the Texans have not had a season anywhere close to this kind of season.
The interesting thing is, When you look at the success, look, obviously everybody knew that the Rockets were good, but I always have to remind myself just how pessimistic people were that any team was going to challenge the Warriors just 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And I'll give, obviously Mike credit, and then going back with Daryl Morey too, this is the second time now he's done this where his own moves have surpassed his own expectations. Because signing James, getting James Harden, he thought James was going to be very, very good, but he didn't quite, he'll tell you, he didn't anticipate him being this good.
I don't think anyone thought he would be this good. He's a special, special player. As my husband keeps saying, he's never seen an offensive player like this.
Yeah.
It's amazing what he does so effortless. You're looking at him at the end of the game, you're thinking, oh, you know, he had a good, okay game. Then you go back and you look at the stat box, you go, oh my gosh, what did I miss? It was so easy and so effortless.
Well,
you have no idea.
What did, and the other side of it with signing Chris Paul is that I think I was optimistic about it. I'm on record as being optimistic about it. But the downside was, hey, you've got two ball dominant guards here. And I think Mike was very upfront about saying, hey, he said very early on, we're going to have one of them on the floor all the time, but that nobody really knows what this looks like or how it's going to work precisely. And that's the other thing where I think Morey knew that he was bringing talent in here, but I don't know if he anticipated those two players and Mike D'Antoni and Clint Capella especially kind of coming together the way they have.
Well, I think that Daryl Morey was holding his breath because you bring in two players like that, you say, who are ball dominant. You don't know if they're going to mesh. And we don't know if they're going to mesh. The coaching staff doesn't know if they're going to mesh. And trying to figure out that part of the puzzle is like, which piece do you put in first?
Yeah.
I mean, these are both amazing players. So trying to figure that out, and you have to give a lot of credit to both Chris and James, because when Chris ended up coming over here in, what was it, July? It was right
early
before
July.
It was right before July 1st, before free agency, because we got him before free agency. We got him in a trade. So you look at that. To credit to them, they spent the entire summer playing, you know, going to playgrounds, going to L.A., going to the Bahamas. You know, they spent a lot of time trying to figure each other out, and that's what we see with veteran teams. Veteran teams win championships because they've played together. They can be intuitive with each other. They put in so much time, and then our coaching staff, I have to say, I've never seen a coaching staff with so much chemistry. They figured it out. They figured out what they're comfortable for. So you look at great players, they make sacrifices for their team. And both James and Chris, you watch them on the floor. I mean, they have really great communication. They're both like major alpha dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they both kind of look at each other, okay, you do this, you do that, and their credit. I mean, I appreciate maybe Chris is a little bit older than James, and maybe there's a little bit more respect factor there, so it's not like they're fighting for the same. They're at different points in their career. Whatever it is, it's all the pieces have gelled. And we're amazed, too. Mike will tell you that he didn't know how it would fit. And, you know, tweaking, figuring out, watching the rotations, making sure they're both. I mean, they both start out in the game, and then they rotate. So it was a big puzzle for them to figure it out. And at this point, it looks like we're okay.
Okay, those would be the two things. Talking about Mike and kind of figure things out. Because, you know, last year when we first met you and you talked down to me and asked me whether I knew pace and space.
Because you're a football guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. I'm having fun with that.
I'm worried about the concussion.
So are we.
We did find out I have brain damage this weekend.
A little bit.
But we had a lighthearted discussion about it. But it is interesting, though, because, look, you've been with Mike for a long time now, in through the Phoenix years and before that. In pace and space, obviously, yes, is a huge part of what he likes to do. But this year, there are a couple things that he's had to change a little bit. One, not playing nearly at the same pace, and two, not that he's complaining about it. Right. And two, having to experimenting with much deeper rotation, playing with more players, getting more guys involved. Has that been effortless for him? Has he had to think his way through some of this, or is it just a matter of just letting the game come to everybody?
So, Seth, this is what coaches do. Yeah. They have to figure it out. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky. We have amazing talent. Daryl Morey did a great job. He went out and got some major defensive players. So now we have talent that can keep things up, you know. You can't ask every player to be a great offensive player. Not every player can be James Harden. That would be great. Not every player can be P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is a massive, great, fantastic defensive player. If we had all defensive players, then, I mean, we'd stop the ball every time.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe we wouldn't have this offense. It's finding the balance on it. And every team that he's been with, this is what all coaches do. They have to figure out the rotations. They have to figure out the timing. They have to figure out who's injured, who's not injured. The rotations change every time based on who's injured, who's feeling good, who we're matching up with, where we are in the season, how much time everyone's played. I mean, it's constant evolution. And Mike, to his credit, you know, he's been around the league a long time. And he lets it come to him a little bit more without stressing on it. And that has to do primarily with the kind of character we have on our floor. It's the character of our guys.
Do you think that maybe a younger coach or a younger Mike D'Antoni would have been more rigid and saying, like, this is the way I want it to look. No, we're going to play this way. And not that he would have been a jerk about it or anything, but just maybe resisted a little bit more than understanding now, okay, hey, this is the way this team's going to work this year?
No.
No? He would have figured it's...
Well, because when he was a younger coach, we won a championship in Italy. So, I don't think so. I think that your players determine the type of ball you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's never been a big ISO guy. And we have a team that's full of ISO guy players, like Chris and James. We adapted to it. You have to look at what's best for the team, what's best out there, and how much the guys are going to buy into the process. I think the difference is now is with big data that we have. Before, a coach can see it intuitively or based on experience. Now we have data that he can go up to the player and say, hey, look, when you do this, this, and this, we get this, this, and that.
Yeah. And so, it's being pointed out to the coach before, because the coach is going to have blind spots and preconceived notions even out of the team, where he might not realize until 10 games after the data would have shown it.
Yeah, that but good coaches, they know the feel of the game. Yeah. Trust me, coaches, they know, they can feel it. Where the insecurity comes in is they know it intuitively because they see it in their experience, but they don't have data that backs them up. Now, every sport, because of technology, we can back it up and we can go to the player. The player can't look at the coach and says, oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, he wants to play this other guy or whatever reason for his intuition. Now the numbers say this, we know what it means. You know what it means and it makes it more cohesive. It backs up the coach or it can tell the coach, hey, you know what? You might want to look at this. And that's happened where, hey, you might want to look at this. And that's why our coaching staff right now, did you know that technology for the NBA has changed last year? We have a big video coordinating room back behind the locker room. So they're breaking down the film as the game's happening. Then you used to see runners run out there with an iPad to the assistant coach and then give it to them. Now we transmit everything directly to the bench. So as a player, maybe there's a clip that they need to see. Player comes out to take a breather. Assistant coach is showing them what they're doing.
Interesting. Laurel D'Antoni joining us in studio here on Mad Radio. Is this the best team that your husband has coached ever?
Yes, probably. Yes. I mean, yeah, it is. I think all around. We have the best players. Our organization's on top of it. Mr. Fertitta has, you know, engaged at an incredible level so quickly. We've got great families. We've got the player families are fantastic and supportive. I mean, the stars are lining up, and it makes me a little bit nervous.
That was my follow up. Like, does it make you
nervous?
Yeah,
it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous because everything's going so well, and you know, see other teams that are at the top, and you know they have issues now. I mean, they could be us. I'm not even going to say it because if I say it, I'm going to jinx it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You guys could say it, but I'm not saying it.
I'm becoming more superstitious. Like, as I should be getting more rational
in life,
I'm getting more superstitious.
It's karma.
I will say, I don't believe in asterisks. Like, I really don't. I don't believe one bit. I think that health is a part of the game.
Health is part of the game.
And staying healthy is part of it. It's and I include that too, like with Michael Jordan departing the game. Like, that's part of the game, is players come, players go, players leave for injury, players leave for personal issues, and they try to play baseball and then come back. That's just any single year. That's what
just
happens.
Go out and win.
So, yeah, like it's what squad can you put on the floor during the tournament?
Or something happens on the floor, because I really feel the year that we were in Phoenix and Steve Nash. I was talking to Robert Horry. We had a speaking engagement together, and we were joking about, he was talking about all of the championships that he's won. I said, yeah, but one of those was ours in Phoenix. Had he not hip checked Steve Nash?
Yeah,
first round.
I mean, remember that?
Yeah.
And then two of our players were disqualified because they put their toes on the field.
Yes.
I mean, on the court. But you look at that stuff, it's stuff like that. It's like quirky stuff.
Little things.
It's part of the game. I mean, I don't regret it. I feel bad about it, but I don't regret it. It's part of the game. All sorts of stuff. Funny stuff happens.
What?
So you got to keep your fingers crossed. And I'm telling you what, coming into the arena now is so different from the beginning of the year. We're kind of, our fans kind of get there a little bit late, maybe between first
we
and
have discussed
quarter.
That, yes.
Yeah, they come. Well, they're not doing that. We're filling up a lot quicker right now because enthusiasm, our game operations, it's a party to go there. And now I think everyone's coming because we're in our season ticket campaign. So everyone's scoping out seats. It's unbelievable because there's all these ticket salesperson walking around and you see them leading. It's like tour guides with umbrellas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want this seat?
Lock in your club seat
right
prices
now.
For 3 years, everybody. 3 years!
And not only that, you'll get great playoff seats. So that's the key.
Laurel D'Antoni.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you get priority on this year's playoffs.
Yeah,
it's not just for the next
fans.
Three, it's this year's.
Laurel D'Antoni is with us. I have a meltdown at 9:30. Coming up next, Laurel has recently been honored for her work in the community. We'll discuss that. Some of the great things she's done.
We're going to ask her. I got to bring up something. She let me down. Frankly, she let me down recently.
And we have been discussing a story, Bob McNair putting his foot in his mouth. We're going to ask Laurel if there's ever been a time where she publicly put her foot in her mouth during her husband's career. That is by command. Laurel's going to stay with us. Mad Radio on a Monday, Sports Radio 610.
Too much bureaucracy. The higher the monkey climbs the tree, the more of his rear end he exposes. You know, bicycling, you have more head injuries than in football. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, mothers say, I'm not going to let my child play football, I guess they're taking their bicycle away, too.
Mad Radio, good morning. That was Bob McNair. We're giving away Dynamo tickets right now. Let's do caller 7, 832-430-2946. Dynamo and the Revolution this weekend at BBVA Compass Stadium. Caller 7, 832-430-2946. Also, your chance to win $1,000 right now. Code word of this hour is RIDGE, RIDGE. Text that in to 77881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Brad Lidge.
Lidge. Ridge. RIDGE to 72881. Laurel D'Antoni is with us. We'll get to some basketball stuff in a moment here, obviously. But what are you doing? You were always doing good things in the community, helping people read, all that kind of stuff. What's going on now?
Well, you got to remember, last year you all invited me. How I Met You was talking about our book drive with the Rocket Women's Organization. And we're doing it again. We had major success last year, brought in over 7,000 books. This year, we're going to do it this Friday. So everybody, start saving your books. If you're coming to our game, please bring a book. For every book, new or gently used book, we're going to give you a raffle ticket. You bring me 100 books, 100 raffle tickets, and then you'll have an opportunity to meet one of our 7 players after the game.
So they're going
to
raffle it off, right? So you get a
right
book.
Away.
You enter the book raffle right then, and then you get a chance to meet one of the players after the game.
Yeah, second quarter, we draw them, and then after the game, if you win James Harden's package, you're going to meet James Harden after the end of the game. You're going to walk back into the tunnel, meet with him, take a picture with him, get his autographed jersey. We take care of our fans, and this is a way, it's between James Harden, Clint Capella, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, who else? PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, did I mention?
No, you didn't. So, oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Chris Paul
is a big one.
A good one. So all of these guys.
Who's the biggest reader on the team?
Oliver, like, you know what?
Capella?
Clint Capella is awesome. Do you know? So our partner is Reliant.
Yeah.
So Reliant has Clint Capella working with them. Reliant is giving $200 for every double-double that Clint Capella scores to the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. That's our partner. All of our books that we collect this Friday will go to the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. We've invited all of these nonprofits to come to the arena on Monday following the game, April 2nd, and they're going to select books for all their clients. Clint Capella, do you know how many double-doubles he has? I hope Reliant has a lot of money because he's a double-double master.
No, he is, and he's. We were just talking about this earlier. The cool thing about it is that over the last month or so, he's been doing it against competition. You know, he's been doing it against
Davis
Carl
on
Anthony
Saturday.
Towns, against Davis, against DeAndre Jordan, like all these guys. It's just he's, over the course of one season, you've almost seen him just explode into manhood.
Yes.
Like he
yes.
just, I say he's gone through basketball puberty.
Because exactly
he's like,
right.
like he was playing like a boy the last couple seasons that had promise, where this year he's a full grown man.
Yeah, and just wait till he gets that, like that big man body too,
yeah.
because it's going to get scary. He's scary because we talk about, when you talk about the way you play, you know, you play it horizontally. So we spread the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to get, as long as we spread the floor, we have to bring out the defense. And all that does is give Chris and James a pathway. Right.
right?
But then you look at Clint Capella, he gives us vertical space.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just horizontal. We're not flat.
You're dealing in three dimensions here.
Three dimensions.
You've been dealing in cubic meters, not just square meters.
Really up on the top there with his block shots.
Yeah. Well, no, he's been very good. Nobody, and the defensive rebounding is big, but then also just like you talked about in this league where now everybody's switching on defense, to have a guy like him that can go out and guard guards when they just switch
everything.
Onto it. I know.
Switch everything.
I was yelling at Mike about that the other day.
How are you going
to
guard that?
Mike was trying to claim that the Warriors were unstoppable. And I said, like, Mike, everybody's switching.
That.
Like, that's why everybody's switching. This ball movement, you got to shut the ball movement down.
Wait a minute.
And I said, Mike, what's up?
How many times have we played them this year?
Yeah, I know.
Three times.
I think we played them three times. And how many times have we played
twice.
Oh,
I was there
I think
the last
we beat
time.
Twice.
Yeah. But Seth has some argument that, well, I think that they're bored. I think that they're bored right now. Now, I'm not saying
he
they're
thinks
wrong.
That the Warriors are bored.
You know what? They're not healthy. That's the
I agree. They were bored, and now they are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen in the playoffs.
They'll
I do want to get to
up.
This. I promoted this. All right. So you don't have to comment on this part, but Bob McNair put his foot in his mouth again because he was basically somewhat defensive of Jerry Richardson and some allegations of the Panthers owner. We wanted to ask, are there any times historically where you've had any, like, anything you've said that's caught flack in the media?
I think, of course there is, because I have sometimes filter problems. So, you know,
we
my
like
husband,
that.
I'm sure he's listening this morning because he goes, oh God, he's just holding his breath. But probably the biggest flack I got, but then I really don't care, was the comment when we went to LA and this year with our team and beat them pretty soundly. And they had asked me how I felt after the game. And I had said, happy days. I guess, is it classless to say happy days we're here again? Because Magic had said that. I thought Magic was unkind. And I thought Magic was on staff. You can say all you want that he wasn't on staff, but in our media guy, he was like a senior vice president or whatever. You can't talk about your team that way. And
that
I didn't
sense.
Appreciate it. So I held a grudge and I said it, and it got some negative play, but it got a heck of a lot more positive play.
A little birdie told me that karma then ended up getting you. Is that accurate, Laurel?
It is accurate.
What
so
happened?
I was really excited because Mike got to coach the All-Star game for the West for team staff. I was so excited. I was proud of him, really proud of him. And I was telling him the night before, I'm really excited to go back to LA and show him, say, hey, you know what? All of a sudden, Mike's become a coach and he wasn't a coach then. I mean, ye of little faith. But then I told my husband, I go, maybe I'm more excited about that than you're a close second at being proud of you. The next day, we're ready to grab the jet at 12. I have to run in and go get it laundry. My car's packed. I trip on the curb and I fractured my kneecap.
Ooh.
So guess what? I tell my husband, I call him and say, take my luggage out of the car, leave. I'll see you. I'm not going to LA because I fractured my kneecap. I'm going to be in a brace for the next 5 weeks.
Gosh.
Oh my
so,
goodness.
Yeah, karma bit me. So I'm trying to be a little bit more.
But then how'd you do this? You've lost weight like as you're recovering from a broken kneecap.
Yeah,
that's hard to do.
Weight. Well, you know what? I think my son made a bet with us on, eating steak.
Yeah.
And last year during the playoffs, and I haven't had steak since then, and, you know, working out, and then just watching your quantity.
How much steak were you eating?
A lot. I love steak.
It's a rough life you lead here.
We're in Texas. Everything is bigger here. There's a lot of cows in Texas.
Not as many as there used to be. Thanks, Laurel.
Well, there's a lot of cows. I mean, look at all the stores. Everywhere you go, there's a steakhouse.
Yeah, no, it is. It's damn good.
It's really good.
This is very true. I have a random question for you. Landry always makes fun of me. Now I'm at the point, I don't know if Kawhi's going to come back. I still have this fear of the Spurs, like just because of the coach and the name and the uniform, I still have that fear. Do you feel the same way?
Considering that Mike played very briefly for the San Antonio Spurs and got cut, I think he got cut. He had a broken hand. Back in those days when he played, you could cut injured players. So San Antonio's always kind of been there, and Mike's even worked with Pop. So we're really good friends with Coach Pop. So, you know, it's kind of the thorn, but now that Robert Horry's not playing with them, that kind of makes me feel good about that. And I'll probably get flack for that one, but.
No, that's fair.
They're a really good team. Very well coached, you know, but they have the same problem that Golden State does. They have an injury issue.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, we can root all we want, but you just pray that your players stay healthy and you hope that you have an amazing training staff, which we do. We have medical staff. You just hope that you can do it that way and hold your breath. You can't control everything.
I think the phrase that Popovich has used that I love is the appropriate level of fear. That you always want to have the appropriate level of fear for your opponent. And I think the Spurs are one of those organizations that no matter what hardships they have, everybody has the appropriate level of fear for the Spurs because of Popovich, because of the other players on the court. And then just this year, the imminent return of Kawhi Leonard, which seems to change from day to day.
And not but be imminent.
It looks more now. It looks more now like he is actually coming back. Right? Did I miss a report yet? I thought I saw a report yesterday
that
flipped everything on its ear. Okay, all right. We're back where we were on Friday now, where it's looking like it won't happen? Okay.
Well, I think we're in a situation, you don't have to comment about this, Laurel, but I think Tony Parker made some comments, which I was curious about, because it seemed like they were kind of calling out Kawhi when Parker talked about how he had a much worse injury with the quad than Kawhi did. So there are some things, weird things, afoot right now in San Antonio.
The thing about the Spurs, though, is that despite all that, without Kawhi Leonard, they're second in defensive efficiency right now.
Like
regardless of the Rockets or any other matchup or anything, like when you talk about the Spurs in the playoffs, the fact that they could upset anybody just because they're still playing really good defense.
Anybody can upset anybody. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law upset a team and made it to the NCAA. I mean,
that's right.
No one thought that they would. That's 31 years they've never made it. So, this is why sports, why we love it and we drool and we listen to everything. It's because it is exciting and the Cinderella team can make it, or, you know, something quirky can happen. I mean, you better hold your breath.
Yes.
You better come and see it, because you don't get to see great things all the time.
I have one or two more things for you. We're going to keep you to the end of the segment, so don't worry.
You're never leaving, Laurel.
Yes, we're going to just keep you
here
forever.
You guys are way too much fun. You'll get me in trouble.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
So Mike said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that this team had, I'm paraphrasing here, the best chemistry that he's had among the teams that he's coached. Because, you know, you obviously are very close to the team. You go to all the games, all that. What makes this team different from all the other teams, specifically the Phoenix team, this team this year?
Right. Well, chemistry, that's the next big analytic debate that we're going to have. We need to figure out how to quantify chemistry, but you can't. It's like falling in love. You can't make a girl or a guy fall in love with you, right? You wish you could, because you could say, oh man, that guy, he's great. Let me go for him. And he may not even give you a look. That's the way it is with chemistry. We can't control it. Daryl Morey has done a great job putting the team together, getting us good talent. How they mesh, you don't know. Well, that also comes to leadership. And so we've got James in his leadership position and Chris Paul. You got to remember that Chris Paul is a mega leader. He's president of the Players Association. He's been around. Neither one of those guys have a ring. So they're motivated. They keep everybody together. I think families have a part of it. I think that, you know, you come home and if your wife is supportive right now with or girlfriend or even families. I think right now with the way social media and technology is, you have all these voices. I was listening to Steve Nash talk at the Sloan Sports Analytic Conference.
Yes, in Boston.
And he said that family, friends, agents, teammates, whatever, can chip away at you, and maybe they chip just enough to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So you really have to bunker in, and it takes everybody to help create this chemistry. Our biggest thing, I think, is that we have great quality guys. You can take your kids to our games and watch our guys play and say, hey, that's a good role model. Hey, that's a good role model. All of our guys are involved in the community. Our team's involved in the community. It's a safe bet. You know, you're not like thinking, oh, what do I do? Our guys like each other. They hang out with each other. Chris Paul is really big on this stuff. He kind of demands everybody play together, go bowling together. That's his thing.
And that's something that Mike had talked about when we interviewed both of you this summer, was the reality that when you're coaching a player in the NBA, you've got them for a few hours a day, and then they've got 20 hours with their family.
Right.
So it's, what can you tell them in the 3 or 4 hours versus if they're going home and their families are telling them that you're being used wrong, the coach doesn't know what he's talking about and what have you. It's not that you have to combat all those things. It's just that is the reality. So when you do have a strong family presence and a camaraderie among the families, I think it does go a long way.
I think it does go a long way. And you look at this, the other thing is, and you know this, winning really resolves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been fortunate because we've been on a tear this entire season, and that kind of scares me too, because when you lose a game, that's good because it's an emotional readjustment. You lose those couple of games, I'm going to get busted on this one. You got to be careful. You need to have some adversity to shine. You know, and you need to see where the holes are within your organization. And that's every organization, every job. Everybody knows that.
Because there is no, when you're on a win streak, it's really difficult as a coach because there's no consequence to the bad things you're doing. You have bad habits as a team or you're doing poor things, but there's no consequence. So how do you explain to the guys that, like, listen, I promise you, this is going to bite you.
So you look at our guys, but you can see it on the floor. They genuinely like each other.
Yeah.
It's a quality guy. It's a good mix. You can't create chemistry. You've just got to pray that it happens. And we have it. I mean, we were close in Phoenix. I mean, in Phoenix, there was, you know, some things here and there that couldn't tweak. There was some moodier guys. But our guys, by and large, they self-police themselves. You know, and that happens when you have a veteran team, right? Mm-hmm. The veterans step up and say, hey, we're not doing that. Or they hold the other guys accountable. The coaches, you know, Mike he's real particular about how he wants to coach. He's got Jeff Bezalek, who's our associate head coach. He wants one voice for offense, one voice for defense, because he doesn't want them mixing. Mm. And that has worked really well. You look at where we are. We're in the top 10 defensive rating. Top 10.
Yep.
I think all teams that win the championship have to be in the top 10.
Yep. Almost always. There's only almost been a couple
always,
instances. Right?
Yeah. Almost always, yes. Yep.
But we're good. We're hanging in there.
I think the Cavs are the two. The Cavs are the only one that have done it recently, but they don't count.
Exception.
But you look at it, and then with the community, we have a community that's been in pain this year with Hurricane Harvey, and everyone's been doing their part, and it's easy to, we need heroes out there. We've had so many heroes within the community. Your neighbors have been heroes. Strangers have been heroes. And, you know, you saw the Astros. They were heroes. All of this stuff, I mean, it's Houston, we need to get stronger. We are strong, but we need to get stronger and repair ourselves, and we're getting there, and it takes a village, and I hope that Rockets are doing it.
So Friday, the game against Phoenix, the home game, bring a book if you're going to the game.
Bring a bunch of books. You get 100 lottery raffle tickets, and you'll have a chance to meet a player after the game.
And our guys are fun, and they're all bought in. All the gals have asked them, so you're going to get a chance to talk to them personally right after the game. So bring as many books as you can. It's going to help a lot of kids in our literacy problem here in Houston.
Laurel, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Laurel D'Antoni on Mad Radio. We are going to finish up with our good friend John Lopez, plus, what do we do with the owner of the Texans after the latest time where Bob McNair is in the news for not exactly the correct reasons? This is Mad Radio.